You're listening to SBS News.
On Wednesday, US President Donald Trump made his first public appearance since the US Capitol building was stormed by a violent mob of his supporters 6 days earlier. He travelled to Texas to view progress on the border wall with Mexico, but the president's real focus appeared to be on continuing to distance himself from the mob.
Millions of our citizens watched on Wednesday as a mob stormed the Capitol and trashed the halls of government. As I have consistently said throughout my administration, we believe in respecting America's history and traditions, not tearing them down. We believe in the rule of law, not in violence or rioting. Now is the time for our nation to heal, and it's time for peace and for calm. Respect for law enforcement.
As he spoke, Democrats were in Congress working on two plans to unseat the president before his term officially expires in 7 days' time. They've proposed a resolution urging Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment, classify Mr. Trump unfit to lead the country, and take over for his final week in office. Expecting that to fail, Democrats have also introduced another article of impeachment against the president, carrying the single charge of inciting insurrection. On Wednesday, Mr. Trump called the proceedings a hoax.
Free speech is under assault like never before. The 25th Amendment is of zero risk to me, but will come back to haunt Joe Biden and the Biden administration. As the expression goes, be careful what you wish for. The impeachment hoax is a continuation of the greatest and most vicious witch hunt in the history of our country and is causing tremendous anger and division and pain, far greater than most people will ever understand, which is very dangerous for the USA, especially at this very tender time.
But with the Democrats holding a clear majority in the House, Mr. Trump is all but certain to become the first president in US history to be impeached twice. Now, some Republicans are also vowing to cross the aisle and vote in favor of impeaching the president too, more signs that his grip on the party is weakening further. Liz Cheney, who is the third highest ranking Republican in the House and the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, became the third Republican to commit to voting to impeach the president on Wednesday. In a written statement, Ms. Cheney said she believes Mr. Trump incited the violence at the Capitol last week.
Much more will become clear in coming days and weeks, but what we know is enough. The President of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that followed was his doing. None of this would have happened without the President. The President could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop the violence. He did not. There has never been a greater betrayal by a President of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution. I will vote to impeach the president.
Mr. Trump could be impeached by the House as early as Thursday morning Australian time, with the Democrat majority House due to vote then. But after he is impeached, his case would go to trial in the Senate. There, two-thirds of senators would need to vote to convict the president, meaning 22 Republicans would need to cross the aisle. And Democrats are holding on to some hope that might happen. With the Senate on break until January 19, one day before Mr. Trump is due to leave office, Democrat Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is urging Republican Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to bring the Senate back early for a trial.
The technique Trump is using is used by the worst dictators the globe has ever seen. Donald Trump should not hold office one day longer. McConnell claims he needs unanimous consent, the agreement of all 100 senators, but it's not so. I've asked him to call the Senate back. All he needs is my agreement. I'm still minority leader. And his agreement. He's majority leader. And we could come back ASAP and vote to convict Donald Trump and get him out of office now before any further damage is done.
On Wednesday, the FBI announced it had opened 160 cases against those involved in the Capitol riots after receiving more than 100,000 videos and pictures as tip-offs. The FBI says 70 of those cases have already been charged with crimes, with more charges expected to follow. The fallout from the violence at the Capitol also continued in the House of Representatives on Wednesday. Chair of the House Rules Committee, Democrat Jim McGovern, calling on Republican Congressman Jim Jordan to denounce baseless claims of election rigging and openly state that Joe Biden was the rightful winner. But Mr. Jordan refused.
At 4 a.m. on Thursday, January 7th, when we concluded our business on the floor, Vice President Biden became President-elect Biden. That's how the process plays out. He won the election because the way the process works is the last chance to object is January 6th.
Mr. McGovern said rhetoric like that from Republicans was only going to hinder healing among Americans moving forward.
If we want to talk about healing, we have to talk about truth. And if we want to talk about healing, we also need to deal with the issue of accountability. And what this president incited last Wednesday is unforgivable and unconscionable.
Meanwhile, a third member of Congress has tested positive for COVID-19 since the pro-Trump mob descended on the Capitol building last week. During the siege, dozens of politicians had to seek shelter in close confines. Then, over the weekend, they were all urged to get tested after Congress was notified of potential exposure to the virus. Democrat Congressman Brad Schneider said some of the members of Congress sheltering with him that day refused to wear a mask.
Wednesday, after narrowly escaping a violent mob incited by the President of the United States to attack the Capitol and its occupants, I was forced to spend several hours in a secure but confined location with dozens of other members of Congress. Several Republican lawmakers in the room adamantly refused to wear a mask. I don't know from whom I got this virus, or even necessarily if I got it in that room. But I know that my exposure in that room was greater than at any other time through this entire pandemic.
Claudia Farhart, SBS News.